so much, worship team. I heard a proverb recently that really came back to me with some strength during worship, so I just wanted to share it with you. An elephant was standing in the field, and a donkey walked up to him. The elephant greeted him and said, "What a beautiful day it is." The donkey said, "Yes, it is. I can't see it, but I know that sun is sure shining up there in that green, beautiful sky." The elephant said, "You're mistaken, friend. The sky is blue." The donkey said, No. It's green. I know it's green." So the elephant, "Look up. It's blue." The donkey said, "I don't need to look up. I know it's green. So stop trying to tell me it's not." The elephant wasn't really sure what's going on, but he says, "Oof, well, you're wrong. It's blue. And in fact, here comes the king of the beasts now, the chief lion. We'll settle this." So the lion walked up and they greeted each other. And the elephant said, "King lion, listen to this. This stubborn donkey claims the sky is blue and won't even listen to my facts and evidence. He won't even look and see that it's blue. Punish him." The donkey just sat there and said, No, it's green. Punish him for trying to mislead me." So the lion kind of sat down in the grass and looked up at the elephant and said, "I am going to punish you. Your penance is 1 week of silence." So the donkey went, "Good," and walked away. When he walked away, the elephant, knowing the lion personally, said, "Forgive me for speaking, but what's the deal? Why am I being punished? You know the sky is blue. I know the sky is blue." The lion says, "You're not being punished, but you need to learn how to be quiet. Yes, the sky is blue. You've been made as one of the wisest animals and the largest animals on the land. Is that my battery going? No. Why do you even entertain a fool like that? So remain silent and ponder that." And I say this to you. You may have the truth. You may have all the facts. You may know exactly what's right. But don't waste your time with the fool. They don't want to hear it. Walk away, pray for them. Use the energy God gives you for someone who wants to hear and is willing to look up. Amen? Children are gone already? My goodness, that Ula is like a ninja. Amen. I got a lot of scripture today, so I hope you have a pen. If you don't have a pen, go get a pen. Or take out your phone and start typing. You can have your phone in church. Just put it on silent. and the foyer is not a segregated, quiet place. I do love it when someone gets on their phone in church. "Yeah, excuse me, I just got to run out of the sanctuary," and then goes down to the foyer. "Yeah, Bob, how you doing? No, I can talk. I'm in the foyer." Anyways. We all laugh. We've all done it. Okay, I'm going to rattle off a few passages here. Jeremiah. I'm reading the message today, but they'll be on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. It's hopeless. Yeah, near the end of there. Hey, my hand's covering, and I'm reading there, but it's there. I'll go there. "I've got something to say. Is anybody listening? I've a warning to post. Will anyone notice? It's hopeless. Their ears are stuffed with wax, deaf as a post, blind as a bat. It's hopeless. They've tuned out God. They don't want to hear from me." Chapter 13. God told me, "Go and buy," this is Jeremiah here, "go and buy yourself some linen shorts. Put them on and keep them on. Don't even take them off to wash them." So I bought a pair of shorts as God directed me and put them on. Then God told me, "Take the shorts that you bought and go straight to Perith and hide them in the crack of the rock." So I did what God told me and hid them at Perith. I hope he had a second pair. That's beside the point. Next, after quite a long time, God told me, go back to Perith and get the linen shorts I told you to hide there. So I went back to Perith and dug them out of the place where I'd hidden them. The shorts by then had rotted and were worthless. God explained, this is the way I'm going to ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, a wicked bunch of people who don't want to obey me, who only want to do what they want to do, who chase after all kinds of no gods and worship them. They're going to turn out rotten as these old shorts. Just as shorts clothe and protect, so I kept the whole family of Israel under my care, God's decree, so that everyone could see they were my people, a people I could show off to the world and be proud of, but they refused to do a thing I said. Chapter 17. Verse 22. Keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your ancestors. They never did it, as you know. They paid no attention to what I said and went on about their business, refusing to be guided or instructed by me. Couple more. This is awesome. Chapter 25. Sorry. Yeah, 25. Not only that, but God also sent a steady stream of prophets to you, who were just as persistent as me, and you never listened. They told you, turn back right now, each one of you, from your evil way of life and bad behavior. Live in the land God gave you and your ancestors, the land he intended to give you forever. Don't follow the god fads of the day, taking up and worshiping these no gods. Don't make me angry with your god businesses, making and selling gods. It's a dangerous business. You refuse to listen to any of this, and now I'm really angry. These God-making businesses are your doom. And one more, chapter 35, in verse 12. Then Jeremiah received this message from God. God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, wants you to go tell people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem that I say, why won't you learn your lesson and do what I tell you? God's decree. The commands of Jonadab, son of Rechab, to his sons have been carried out to the letter. He told them not to drink wine, and they haven't touched a drop to this very day. They honored and obeyed their ancestors' command. But look at you. I've gone to a lot of trouble to get your attention, and you've ignored me. I sent prophet after prophet to you, all of them my servants, to tell you from early morning to late at night to change your life, make a clean break with your evil past, and do what is right, and to not take up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry of a god that comes down the pike. But settle down and be faithful in this country I gave your ancestors. Does anyone hear a pattern? It almost seems like God was fed up with the fact that they weren't obedient, and he had to tell them over and over and over again, you're in trouble because you don't listen. Maybe that's why Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible, because people just don't seem to get it in their heads. Yes, God, we listen to you. Unless things are going very well, then we'll start looking elsewhere. Everyone grab your ears. Come on, Don. These are God's ears. Say it with me. These are God's ears. He gave me these ears to listen. He gave me these ears to hear. Amen. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Put up John 15:7, please, in the New American Standard. We all know this one, right? Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. A lot of people like to say, well, you just pray for whatever you want. Pray and God will give you what you want, because Jesus said himself, just ask what you want of me. But how did he preface it? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask. The word abide means to stay, to remain, and await. Abide by my words, he says. anything spoken, commanded, reported, or promised, if you stay with me and listen to me. But what happens? Countless times in the Old Testament and countless times today, when things are going well, people stop listening, right? And then when something goes wrong, that's when we run back to the Bible, that's when we hit our knees, that's when we pray and go through a lot of unnecessary heartache to get back to that place where you're abiding with Him and His Word is abiding with you. I used to never understand when I first became a pastor and preacher, how come the weeks when I'm preaching are some of the best weeks of my life? Maybe it's because I just spent 5 days diligently studying the Word. I'll let you in on a secret here, guys. It's only for you. The Bible works. Okay? That's the basis of the gospel. The Bible works. I have heard testimony after testimony online of scientists, of atheists, of evolutionists, sure, of Muslim scholars who try and disprove the Bible to the point where they accept Christ because they find it true once they get into it. Do you know there's actually a passage in the Quran that says the Bible is true and to listen to it? Get that. In the Quran, they say Mary was one of the most blessed women in history. Honor her. Even when they try and be not our God, they are preaching for us. It's so weird. Anyways, who knows the name Michael Fred Phelps the second? Who is he? He's a swimmer. Michael Fred Phelps the second is an American former competitive swimmer. He is the most successful and most decorated Olympian of all time, with a total of 28 medals. Phelps also holds the all-time records for Olympic gold medals, 23. Olympic gold medals in individual events at 13, and Olympic medals in individual events at 16. At the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens, Greece, Phelps tied the all-time record of 8 medals of any color at a single Olympic Games. 4 years later, he won 8 gold medals at the 2008 Beijing Games. He broke the all-time record of 7 first-place finishes at any single Olympic Games. At the 2012 Summer Olympics in London, he won 4 golds, 2 silvers, and at the 2016 Olympics in Rio, he won 5 golds and 1 silver. This made him, and still is, the most successful athlete of the Olympic Games, 4 Olympics in a row. The morning of his Olympics, he didn't wake up and said, I think I'll be a swimmer today. Okay? Did he go from zero to hero overnight? No. He trained 6 to 8 hours a day. He swam an average of 80 kilometers a week. He stuck to a strict regimen and prioritized rest. He said, my diet was the least of my consideration. I was burning 10 to 12,000 calories a day. I ate whatever I want, but I rested. Your body needs rest. Your spirit needs rest. How many times does God say, rest in me? Do that. What I mean is this. It takes most people to get lower than they can tolerate before they'll decide to listen to God. But you might be saying, well, I can't read the Bible 6 to 8 hours a day. I don't expect you to. But everything in you should be prioritizing God in your life 24 hours a day. If you listen to God diligently and follow His word, problems. Have you ever wondered how much doesn't happen to you? Now, this is impossible to quantify, obviously, because you don't know what's not happening. But when you count the blessings in your life, or take it this way, when something goes wrong and it absolutely wrecks you and you're on the floor in the fetal position or you're calling your friends, please pray, blah, blah, blah. And then like a week or two later, you think back and go, that wasn't that big a deal. Do you understand what I mean? I despise comparing my problems with other people's problems. In the one of my biggest pet peeves is the phrase, "Well, it could be worse." I don't care if it could be worse. It could be better. Okay, God can help me get this better. And because it could be worse, that doesn't mean I should accept this. Do you know what I mean? Because if it's bad for me, that's subjective. That's me. And I don't want it. But what did God keep me from today? When I was a child, we had a pastor. His name was Pastor Bob. I love Pastor Bob. He was that big old teddy bear type guy, that T.D. Jakes style guy with the beard and the hugs and but super strict, but very loving man. Pastor Bob told me this once. When I was a kid, I still remember this. I must have been 7 when he told me this. He was a spiritual exorcist of sort. And I don't mean like with the crosses and the holy oil. I mean like a true to scripture, I cast demons out because I'm better than them type of guy. And he was driving down the highway once and he said, he was praying out loud and he just said, "God, thank you for this beautiful, peaceful day." And God said to him, "Let me show you why it's peaceful." And he said his spiritual eyes are open, and he saw two massive figures of light on the front of his car, and they were almost like a train just batting away attacks of the enemy all over the place, because you're a child of God. Do you know who you've got on your side? Do you know when you disobey God, he's still on your side? Do you know what you're protected from because you're a child of God? Phelps, Michael Phelps, he didn't train because someone told him to. He trained because he had a goal in mind. Don't read the Bible because Pastor Terrell stood up on Sunday morning and said, "Read your Bible." Don't pray because Pastor Corey says, "Pray." Do it because you have a goal in mind. Do it because you want that constant, abiding presence of the Lord with you and emanating from you, and everyone that sees you knows what is with that person. How come the world is literally burning around them and they have such a smile and peace about them? That's the presence of God. I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 4. It's something we all are very familiar with, but listen to it in the Message Bible. Philippians 4, verse 4. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and prayers shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it up, friends, I'd say you'll do it best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you've heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. What two words stood out in that passage? Do that. This isn't about hoping God makes it all come together so you can do that. Do you understand how God, the whole cause and effect thing, sometimes it's effect and cause, okay? It isn't, well, if God would just come into my life, take away my worries, make it peaceful, pay all my bills, give my, you know, landlord his due, make sure I'm never sick, make sure I'm never worrying, make sure I've always got food in the fridge and clothes on my back, then I could actually just pray and worship Him. But you know what? History tells us time and time again, the better off people are, if God's not at their center, the worse off they become. How Sorry, I got ahead of myself. So it says, celebrate God all day, every day. Praise, pray, talk to, communicate about God. Wake up in the morning, what's your first thought? After I want to go back to sleep. If it's not God, make it a habit. Put a note by your clock that just says, praise God. Because immediately your brain starts in on, praise God. Concentrate on what's good, true, noble, reputable, authentic, beautiful. Ignore the disregard the negative, the ugly, and the worst. Turn off the news. Just turn it off. You don't need it. I saw a Christian man today on Facebook. His name escapes me. But he's saying they're blaming all these wildfires on climate change. And some of the most major news stations in our culture are actually no longer allowed to say anything against climate change. So apparently, if lightning strikes and starts a fire, that's climate change. If an irresponsible campfire gets out of control, that's climate change. If a cigarette gets tossed out the window, that's climate change. Turn off the news. Don't be the donkey. God is not at work through the worldly news. Yes, his words can be broadcast, but the worldly powers use the worldly system. God uses his. But there's so much evil in the world. There's so much, you hear this all the time, there's so much evil in the world. What can we do? How can we pray? How many in here, you don't have to raise your hands, can say, I just get so overwhelmed with how much evil and negativity there is, I don't even know how to pray. I've had people come to me and say, how can I pray for this situation? It's so wrong. How much evil would you even know about without the mainstream media? Why is it that the amount of negativity, is that amount of negativity allowed to live in your head rent-free? Do you ever ask yourself why the news broadcast here in the Western culture chooses to show us what they do? Do you think that's all that's happening in this world? I have an experiment, and anyone can answer this. Who can tell me a current war that is happening? What? I heard Ukraine. A few times. Who can tell me another one? Sudan. Who can tell me another one? No. I did a little searching this week. Civil wars. Between wars, border wars, intrusions, that might be the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Drug wars, terrorist acts. Since 2010 till now, there are 55 ongoing wars globally today. What do we hear about? We don't hear about those. What does the news choose to share with us? When they want Western sympathy, all they want is Western sympathy against Putin. But like Corey said in one of his messages, I guarantee you, there's Christians in Russia saying, God bless our president for everything he's doing for us. But who is directing your prayers? Is it the news or is it God's Spirit? I tell you this, though. I'm going to go off on a quick tangent here. The two major adjutants in this war are, of course, Russia and everyone backed by the United States, yes? Tell me the two greatest military superpowers in the world's history couldn't end a war tomorrow if they actually wanted to. Okay? It's not about Ukraine's resources or people. It's about their geographic location. The U.S. wants the oil to go that way. Russia wants it to go that way. Ukraine's in the middle. But pray for the people of Ukraine. I actually spoke to some Ukrainian, I can't quite use the word refugee, but I spoke to several of them in preparing for this message, both Manning and, of course, in Toronto. There's a bunch of them in Toronto when I was there. He said to me, you'd be surprised how many of us cannot get refugee status. There's maybe 1 in 20 that they put in the newspaper, but we all had to come here with work permits because we weren't allowed to come as refugees. Don't believe the news. This is not God's work. It is man's work serving the power of the worldly system. John chapter 17. I didn't mark it. How about that? There we go. John 17, starting verse 13. Now I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing, so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join in the world's ways, just as I didn't join in the world's ways. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Who defines you? Sorry, I just got to get something ready here. All right, moving on. Who are you listening to? Take that in your first part. Why you listen to him? That's even more important. Listen to God. Okay, turn with me to Proverbs, or just write it down and look at it later. Chapter 4. Verse 23, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. What is your heart? It's your mind. It's your will. It's your emotions. It's your inner character. It's everything that makes you. There are only two individuals in creation's history that know your true self. You and God. Everyone else you meet, this isn't part of it, I'm going with this. Everyone else you meet or have ever met has a very distinct idea about who you are. And it will not match who that person thinks you are. It will not match who your mother thought you were. It will not match who your brothers think you were. And it won't match who that coworker you never got along with thinks you are. The only two people that know you to completion are you and God. So, keep vigilant watch over who you are. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither left nor right. Leave evil in the dust. Psalm 105:4. Put that up quick, please. Hallelujah! Thank God! Praise to his name. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. Sing him songs. Belt out hymns. Translate his wonders into music. I'm so blessed with what you came and told me, Karen. But isn't that the truth? Turn that into a melody. We just sang that song, My Weapon Is My Melody. Turn it into music. You know what? Cry to God in music. Don't complain to God. Just cry out to him. He knows you're hurting and he wants to comfort you. Psalm 119. Verses 16. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it. Be generous with me and I'll live a full life. Not for a minute will I take my eyes off your road. And one more in Matthew. Chapter 6, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Is that what I put up there? Sure, I'll read that. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a musty cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. You can't love two gods at once. Loving one god, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feels like contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money. I probably didn't put all this up there, love, that's okay. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds. Free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count to him far more than the birds. Now what's the theme? We touched on listening. What are we talking about now? Look and see the Lord is good. Okay, intro over. Buckle up. No, just kidding. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted firmly by the streams of the water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Who heard what I just said? Squirrel! Who heard fully and absorbed and really felt what I said? It was a cute squirrel. Or two. What am I trying to get across here? Distractions. It's okay to go to God and just be with God. In fact, he prefers it. And even when you're busy, God can be busy with you. But when you're actually going to God, again, it's like when you go to your children, you go to be with your spouse. It's putting your phone away for that time. It's having dinner around the table without screens or distractions. It's going to God and not thinking about not being with God. There's a hard way of putting that. Can you be with God and not be thinking about not being with God? Now we'll go back to Psalm chapter 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. What's that mean? Taking advice for life from evil men. Who do you look to for advice? Who do you look to? Do you automatically go to someone you know and respect? Do you go to someone that you judge as having success in the area you're struggling with? Or do you go to God and say, what do you have for me? Or even, who should I go to, my Lord? Are you looking for assistance or sympathetic confirmation? Be careful. Ooh, this one's tough. Be careful who you ask for an honest opinion, because you just might get it. I had a man come to me several years back, and he said to me this, Terrell, your children are very well behaved, and they're really respectful.
Hi. And so pretty.
No. Yes, they are so pretty. Do you want to come say hi? Okay. But he said this, I need help with my kids. Should have been a red flag, but it wasn't. I respond a little differently than y'all laugh at me, but this is what he said to me. Can you help me and watch when my kids are not behaving? You let me know how to deal with that. In my arrogance and naivete, I said, well, absolutely, I'll do that. I will help you, my brother. Praise Jesus. How many parents here absolutely cherish and love when someone comes to you and tells you your kids are being rotten? So it didn't work out well. It didn't work out well because, number one, I'm an honest guy. And number two, I expect good behavior from my children and I get good behavior from my children and I don't have to punish them. I don't have to promise them rewards. They're just good kids. And I love that. So immediately I started judging these other kids' behavior through my filter as a father for my children. Do you understand that? And it didn't make sense to me. Why aren't your kids behaving? So it didn't work out well. This person's no longer really in my life, believe it or not. I was chastised quite heavily and rebuked on a few different occasions. And then they came to me for other advice, and I said no. Remember the story of the donkeys? You know what it was? It was, make it so I don't have to be responsible anymore. That was the question I was being asked. Make it so it'll be better for me. Please help me take the burden. It's like, no, you need to be a dad. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners. The word path here means a journey, but also means their manner. The manner of sinners. The way the unsaved live their life. That's a good way to say the path of sinners. So I say stand. Establish your ways. Some of the lies we hear today are, well, we need to separate church and state. We need to separate the physical from the spiritual. No. Or the age-old argument that begins with, just keep it in church, pal, and we'll be happy. That's fine. Keep it in church. How many times did Jesus rebuke the hypocrites? Does it apply to you? And here's one of the favorite ones. I call it church talk or in church vocabulary versus out there for the other 6 days of the week vocabulary. We call them church answers. Because I run to someone on Wednesday in the grocery store. I say, June, how you doing today? She's in line behind the bus with me. She'll say, I'm doing pretty good. It's kind of warm up. We'll talk about work. We'll talk about the children. We'll banter. But I like June because when I come to church on Sunday and say, how are you? She doesn't go, I'm just glad to be in the service of my God. Which she is. Don't get me wrong. But it's the church talk answer. And it's fine if this is the only place you feel you can express that. But what I say is, don't let the outside keep you in here. Let out there become who you are. Always keep this in the forefront of your mind. It's in Matthew 7. By the same standard you judge others, you will be judged. It's easy. It's really, really easy to point fingers and say this, 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 and this. But when it comes around to you, you better take it with humility. Because someone will come to you and say, well, this, 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 and this. Let's go back to the beginning for a bit in Genesis chapter 2. Who's still thinking about that squirrel? It's over. Stop it. It's God time. Who's in Genesis 2? Here we go. And verse 6. No, 16. That's chapter 3, that's why. I just put it up, please. God commanded the man, you can eat from any tree in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you do eat from it, you're dead. Was that it? That's 16 and 17? Good. Does it seem like there's room for error in what God said? All of this you can eat. You see this one over here? Don't eat it. Just no. No, you will die. What can we put this in modern day vernacular? You bring home bags of groceries. You say, look, children of mine, all these groceries are for eating yummy good. This is a bottle of bleach. No. Good? Not good. God laid it out very specifically. Did it work? chapter 3, verse 22, after the 8, God said, the man has become like one of us, knowing everything, ranging from good to evil. What if now he should reach out and take from the tree of life and eat it and live forever? From the beginning, it was not God's plan for humans to be the judges of what is good and bad. Why? A couple reasons. Number one, God is good. And therefore, God is the only adequate judge of good and bad. Because he is good by his very nature. Number two, if we as humans would be the judges of good and evil, what need would we have for God to say yes to this and no to this? Please put up John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. How did Adam and Eve judge the fruit? When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she would know everything, she took and ate and gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately the two of them did see what was really going on. They saw themselves naked. They sewed together fig leaves together and for makeshift clothes for themselves. What else did they see? In the moment, they stopped seeing through God's eyes and began judging on their own. God said, God's judgment for them was, you're clothed. You're with me. You're my children. You are in a good place. As soon as their eyes were open, they judged themselves as naked, afraid, alone, not taken care of, and ashamed. Horse blinders, or they call them blinkers. You've seen those, right? You see horses with the things on them? They keep horses focused on what is in front of them. It encourages them to pay attention rather than distractions such as crowds. Additionally, driving horses commonly wear blinkers to keep them from being distracted or spooked, especially by crowds of people or other animals. Hey, this works. I got two Bibles. As weird as it sounds, this is what God wants for us. Keep the word from having you look left or right. Because everywhere you turn, God is directing your path. And here's one. Well, you have to keep an open mind and see everyone's opinion. You know what you don't have to do? That. Pastor Gary always said this to me. Opinions are like armpits. Everyone has a couple and they all stink. I understand someone who doesn't believe God might have an amazing opinion on God. I don't need to listen to it. Search the Word and seek God for His opinion. Please put up Isaiah 26, verse 1. For Isaiah 26, verse 1 to 6. At that time, this song will be sung in the country of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation city, built with and fortified with salvation. Throw wide the gates so good and true people can enter. People with their minds set on you. You keep completely whole, steady on their feet, because they keep at it and don't quit. Depend on God and keep at it, because in the Lord God you have a sure thing. Those who lived high and mighty, he knocked off their horse. He used the city built on the hill as fill for the marshes. All the exploited and outcast peoples build their lives on the reclaimed land. Depend on God. Remain steadfast. The high and mighty, he tears down. Oh, that was in this Bible. I got Bibles. People say, why do you jump from... Well, I like to. And that's my... Back in Psalm 1. So, where were we? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, taking advice from men who live evil, or stand in the path of sinners, the manner of the unsaved, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Scoffers are mockers, gossipers, slanderers. And put this in modern day vernacular. Who are you having coffee with? Who are you sitting down at a table with, and what are you talking about? Watch out this week and keep this in the forefront of your mind. Who do I commune with? Do I come away from these groups uplifted? Or do I come away armed for bear? Because here's the thing. Gossip and slander is like a virus. The only way it can survive is to spread. So when gossip hits your ears, either rebuke it or kill it. One of the two. Just don't be a petri dish that multiplies so the next person you see, and again, I'll go back to the news. Well, did you see the news about that so-called prime minister and he did rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah? No, I didn't. But let me tell someone else about that. Did you hear what he said? You're not going back to any source. You're just taking what this person said. You're spreading it and cursing the man. So I say again, God bless Justin Trudeau. Pray for your leaders. Whether they're elected or imposed over you in some cultures, pray for your leaders. Pray God's wisdom. Pray God's grace. And the slander that comes into your ears, let it die with you. Or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. The word season here means an appointed time. It's a great translation, you know, season, like this is spring. It's the appointed time for planting and growth. Winter's the appointed time for cold and not growth. You understand? If you are firmly planted by the streams of living water, you will be like a tree. And when it's time for you to have fruit, that's a natural byproduct. You don't have to force fruit. You simply have to be planted, abiding. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked, now the word here means the unsaved, people who have rejected God. The wicked will not stand in the judgment because the wind will drive them away. No sinners will stand in the assembly of the righteous. Is this the assembly of the righteous? When an unsaved person comes into our midst, it is not that they're going to be driven away, but hopefully that they're sin well. No, I'm not going on that rabbit trail. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. When did the ways of wicked perish? Say that louder. When Jesus died, the way of the sinner died. And unfortunately, there's still people that claim the identity of death. But your identity is life. You are not in the way of the sinner, okay? Your source is not sin. If you read through Romans chapter 8, it talks about sin a lot. Those of you that came to the gathering know this very well. When it talks about sin, it's talking mostly about the source of sin, not the actions of sin. Because we don't understand, well, how can we as Christians still sin? You can commit acts of sin, but you do not have the source of a sinful nature in you anymore. That died. And Jesus killed death. You understand? One more verse passage here in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, oh, it's in the message, sorry. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers blazed the way. All of these veterans cheering us on, talking about the cloud of witnesses. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything that came along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in that place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through. And that will shoot adrenaline to your souls. How do you get through it? Study the word. Let his words abide with you. It's not just a book with numbers and letters. But remember, he also wrote the law in your hearts. He is with us. He speaks through us. I read a lot of scriptures today from the Old Testament about warnings and what would happen if people stopped listening. But it's now with us. Jesus is with us. Abide with him. You can own a house, but if you never sleep there, are you really living there? No. You have salvation. You have the Spirit. You have the Helper. You have the love of Christ in you. And when you're down and out and everything's going wrong, he will hold you in his arms. But don't wait until then to climb into his lap. You know what I mean? It says, go to him like a child. Those of you that were raised in a very, very loving home and you ran home and saw your parents at the end of the day, they would hold you and hug you. Or did you only go to them when you had a problem? God loves you. And it's very unfortunate that today, well, all throughout history, there have been families that are broken and hurting and didn't show that love the way they should have. God is always that guy for you. He always wants to hold you. And sometimes you need to take off the big boy coat and just be a child. Go to him always like a child with your sole purpose and focus being, I just want to love. Amen. Father, thank you for your love and your grace and your greatest gift of Jesus. And as we celebrate Father's Day next week, help us keep you as our Father in our heart all year long, thankfully and diligently serving and reading and seeking and studying and abiding with you. Lord, that your love would help our senses stay focused, both our physical and our spiritual. Help us center our hearts. Help us reign in our hearts. Put blinders on our hearts, not having to seek the opinions of man or looking at shiny objects to the left and right. Let us walk the path you've set before us, not considering the ditches on the left and right, because the ditches are not my journey. Father God, my journey is toward you. It is with you. Give us the strength, Father, now to go with you in this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right. I hope that made sense. If it didn't, please watch it again online. If anyone would like prayer, we are here to pray for you. If not, go with God. Tonight, 6 p.m., bring food.